Please join me in the opening prayer. O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
Beloved Jesus Christ.
Beloved Jesus Christ.
Blessed Master.
Blessed Master.
Dearest Mother.
Dearest Mother.
Beloved David.
Beloved David.
Saints and sages of all religions.
Saints and sages of all religions.
I bow to all of you.
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles.
Free my life from all obstacles.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only King.
Be thou the only King.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
David used to give those wonderful guided meditations. He was a master at that. My Bible reading today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled, do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such an one think this, that such as we are in the word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure. But according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, and your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commandeth. It's quite clear that different teachers and different teachings are for different people, and they are the correct ones if attached to the person who needs them and wants them. The guru chooses the disciple. I saw Mother many times interact with people in a very positive way, and yet that person, for instance, never came back and had positive things to say of her. What was the difference with them versus myself and others who were attached to Mother? The sheep know the shepherd's voice. But the shepherd knows the sheep also and goes out and collects the ones that are his. Comparing notes amongst each other in the same group is advised against, and comparing notes against other groups, teachings and ways of getting to God are also problematic. It's like entering into a family. It isn't that your family is better than other families, but you have loyalty and obedience to it. So, we need to be tolerant of other teachings, other religions, other lifestyles, knowing that in the large scheme of things, the only religion is that of God and knowledge of God, and that because of our understanding with reincarnation, we'll come back if we don't learn the lessons. We needn't worry about other people measuring up to our standards, but we don't have to measure up to theirs either. Mother was fairly selective, and so many of us feel very glad to be allowed into her life. It's very interesting, you know, that Mother had this tremendous salesman of Yogananda, of Paramahansa Yogananda, her beloved master, because he did so much to prepare the ground, the generations that came after his passing, that she really got so many people because of that book, the Autobiography of the Yogi. So many respects, she was just given charge. In terms of Yogananda's larger mission, she was given charge of the souls that that came to her. Many different tests were given to people to stay or not to stay, to be upset with Mother in her life, what happened to her. Even well before, I know in the 70s she was sick so much, some people grumbled about the fact that she wasn't coming very often. But she was paying a price for the future work, as well as the work that she's doing, she was doing while living. David and I always thought that she was involved in the fall of the Berlin Wall and the collapse of the Soviet Union, because it was something that was on her mind, that this evil needs to be done away with. We don't know from our vantage point who was in charge of that. In our minds, Mother gets the credit because she suffered so much in those times. I've always thought that she stayed in the body those last eight years, to prepare the way for David. David was 30 years old when he was ordained the first time, lay minister. He was in his 20s and then ordained at 30. So he really benefited from those latter years tremendously. But also there was a universal side to what Mother was going through. And Papa attested to this. So we don't know. We think we know because Mother told us she was working things out on a universal level, that there was universal work she was doing. You know, Mihabhava talked this way too. He would be doing work. He would be withdrawn into a small hut that Marge Rani describes when she met him in 1964. But he was doing universal work for the world. There's no doubt. His Paramguru was Shirdi Sai Baba. Not many people know that. But his he had two gurus, much like Mother, in the sense of not upagurus, but gurus, two charge men. He called them both charge men. They were given, he was given a charge to work in the world, or to do in the world. And he had a woman, Babajan, who lived outside under a tree most of the year, who initiated him. And then there's Upasi Maharaj, who stabilized him and brought him to full realization. And Upasi Maharaj was known to be a student of Shirdi Sai Baba. And Mahir Baba met Shirdi Sai Baba. According to the books about this, when he saw Mahir Baba, Shirdi Sai Baba said the word Parvardigar. However, that's actually pronounced. I've talked to Indians and asked them what that means. It means Supreme Lord. But it means, it's one of the highest things you can say. A great charge or a great destiny was put upon Mahir Baba. And so with Mother, she had universal work to do. She didn't stint on her support for us on the smaller family that she worked with. But she had much to do on the inner plane. And David did too, as we all know. He talked about it every now and then. I'm much in the frame of mind on my first Kriya experience, Kriya initiation in 76. And remembering things about that. It was such a powerful time and powerful experience. So the Bible here, and thank you, Mira, for the use of the Bible. Let me see it. Oh, there it is. I stole it. Mother always read from the King James also. But now, because I chose that randomly, it makes me wonder how to interpret that. There's so much in this Bible. It's complicated and difficult to understand and to see things in the context that he was writing to people with a particular history, a particular story, and he was addressing the people in that congregation. Perhaps as a great saint he was, knew that he was saying things that would echo down through the ages. It seems as though he did. But in the reading, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems as though we are not so much not to judge as it is to accept many people in many different forms, many different religions, and not to feel puffed up.
Respect is the way it's coming back.
Respect, yeah. It's interesting that, you know, the Christian message is always evangelism, to go out and promote this idea and to knock on people's doors and things like that. And Mother, of course, was the opposite. In that sense, she didn't like to go door to door. She didn't like that idea. But she would offer it to people when asked, and when people would talk to her, she wouldn't shy away from it. But the Christians of that era were really taught to move out into the world. You know, in the early days, it was Jews moving into Jewish communities, traveling into other Jewish communities, and where they had a ready audience, or certainly which could be accepted in the synagogues, and causing some friction, of course, because they were claiming a new teaching or a new master. And so if things had gone normally, they would have been just another book of the Judges or book of the prophets, with Jesus just one of the Jewish prophets. But and that did happen. There were many different itinerant teachers, and there was exchange of ideas from one area to the other. But because of the particular story that Paul had, and his particular background being comfortable in what's called the Hellenic world, the Hellenized world, for the Jews it was very different and very much a more cosmopolitan. Intellectually, philosophically, there's a very rich understanding of the higher teachings. And so there was a debate back and forth. But as Paul knew, spiritually, Gentiles, Timothy or the different people who were with him, some of whom you might know the Bible better than I, but some of them did get circumcised, but he got to the point where he realized that was a stumbling block for men, especially. It's one thing to do it to a child, but it's very difficult to convince a man to do something like that. It has to be clearly understood. I think what at root happened, Paul went into the understanding of what the circumcision was all about. There's a mark, like the mark of Cain, actually, has been described, not in a negative sense, but there are other marks, mark of the beast, mark of Cain, mark of the skins that Adam and Eve put on their bodies is compared to their foreskin. There's so much rich history associated with these things. But he decided that these people were worthy of the teachings, and that the higher Jewish teachings, in his view, the Jews who didn't come to the Christian side, they still have as great a background and as great a teaching as anything that the Christ brought. Moses was a Christ, I have no doubt. And what was going on in Moses' time was every bit as important to the world as it's turned out. We don't know how big an influence the Israelis, the Jews, were at that time. But they have since, because of this Christian influence, been brought into the modern world. I really don't think that the Jewish religion would be in the way that it is today without the Christians, even though there was all this animosity and horrific things done to the Jews by the Christians. It still was something that Christians couldn't deny, that the Jews were part of their history and the Jewish teachings were to be accepted and to be enshrined in as canon, as biblical canon. So because of those two forces of absolute acknowledgement that Jesus was a Jew, an observant Jew, and never worked with the Gentiles except in the ways that we know of the centurion and the Samaritan, things like that. So Paul decided that the teaching word could be universal. And should be universal. And fought with the elders, especially the ones in Jerusalem, where the Hellenic Jews, Jews in Greece and Rome, even all the way to the Babylonian, from out of the Babylonian exile era, they were spread all over the area. And Paul was from Tarsus, which is in Turkey. Because of that, he decided to enlarge it and to bring it into the larger world. and to bring a particular thread. And we've talked about this in other times, but there's no doubt that the teachings of Dionysus, Mithras, even goes back to Osiris, who was, these are all saints, these are all teachers, these are all mythological characters who were killed and came back to life. This is a common, great teaching of that era. And I'm of the opinion that the story, and now Mother said, we don't know that Jesus lived the way that's described in the Bible, but that some great saint lived in those days is not, without doubt. And he may have lived historically a life that you can interpret in the way that it's put together in the Bible. But it is uncanny how much it copies and follows the stories of the other Jesus mysteries, they're called. There's a lot of evidence for this being these ideas being more universal. One of the things the Romans didn't like about the Christians is they were too much like the Indians, the people from the more mystical side. That's one. Some of the resistance was they had that mystical side that the Indians taught, more universal. And then we have what we are experiencing in our small world of, around Yogananda's teachings coming similarly. Master coming to the West, going to Los Angeles, knowing that Los Angeles would be a center of great ability to affect the world. This is why Paul went to Rome. This is why Paul traveled in the Hellenic world. He could speak their language and he could reach into the people easier. But Master came to the West. And it's talked about, many other people talk about Master having a difficult time in Boston, very different temperature and very different people. Coming to LA was people were very open, accepting of these teachings. But the thing about the East Coast is Master learned a lot about the American character, the basic American character, whereas L.A. was a variation of that character, very different than the hinterlands or the Midlands, the Midwest and the East Coast. There was a common flavor that he picked up, and that's why he could write the autobiography in a way that just perfectly meshed with him. Master knew the Western mind so well and was very forgiving, though he was treated badly by some people because of his race. He was well beyond that. He knew that all the good people who you focus on. Reagan always said that when you give a talk and there's people who are opposing you, don't talk to those people. Talk to the ones who are looking at you and want to hear, which are in the majority most of the time. And focus on that and don't get off messages to politicians say, but don't get derailed. And so Master knew there was good here and that there were souls coming who would be able to take his teachings and take them into the world. And, you know, America has, right or wrong, been at the center of the world events. And that alone has caused English to be universal. And it's been very effective. The great jewel that he brought is Kriya Yoga. And that's why there's so much attention. I chose to read the receptives because I just not sat down and done it in sequence. I chose to do it with reading exhaustively. Sometimes he repeated himself, but I wanted to teach myself as much as you and anyone who's new. And it just makes me so appreciative, grateful to him. We're so lucky to have this Kriya Yoga, this, you know, lots of people have a yoga that, I mean, it is interesting, isn't it, that the master wants to keep this secret and make a ceremony out of it that's more elaborate than most initiations. And there's nothing wrong with other initiations. Papa does literally a 2 or 3 minute initiation. And I'll tell you a little. I think we learned this last year when we were at the ashram. I mentioned it before to others. I'm a big fan of Yogi Ram Surat Kumar and his devotees, and got to be more so while I was there. But Yogi Ram Surat Kumar was a school teacher and a headmaster at school, actually. And one day, he's in the Gospel of Swami Ram Das, he's called the Bihari. He's referenced there as the Bihari, a person from Bihar. He got up one day and just didn't know why, but he just got up and took a train ticket, I think, west. And he ended up seeing Papa that time, either that day or shortly after that. And he was so entranced with him. But he was he still had connections, and he went back home. And he visited the ashram twice. So he kept tapped with Papa and visited there twice. One time he came back and said, well, Ram Das is like a king. He's treated like a king. People wait on him. And so he had criticism. It's so strange to think, because later, people who know Yogi Ram Surat Kumar, he was a nut. He was nuts. In fact, he was harassing people for not knowing how great Papa was later. But that happened because of the initiation that Papa gave him. He was a shy man. He asked Swami Sachidananda when they were on a walk with Papa. As they were walking, he says, I really would like to be initiated. Would you ask him? And Swamiji did. And Papa sat down right there and initiated him. What I didn't know was that initiation really, really affected him. It really made him unbalanced. It's so, every aspect is different than the outside, but inwardly, he was shocked, and Papa did something to him, to the core of his being. He was not in his right mind from that point on. He was really, for years, I think 12 years. So he had that experience. He wanted to tell everybody about Papa, even in the ashram. They kicked him out of the ashram. He would stand by the gate. He would tell people as they're going, you don't know who this person is. You should be bowing down to him. He's the greatest, greatest master that's ever lived. Constantly and berating people for not knowing him. He was not a pleasant person. It's the strangest story. He was a pain. And they finally said to Papa, you have to do something about it. And Papa kicked him out and said, you're not allowed to be here. He was obedient in that sense. He knew Papa was his guru. So he did what he was told. He says, you go to Trivandrum. Instead, of course, he went up north and traveled. But I think it was 10 or 12 years he traveled, like Papa did. And ended up in Trivandrum, sure enough. And Kanya Kumari also, he built a temple. But he was always in Trivandrum. When he was first there, he was a tramp. Homeless, smoking endlessly. Very well educated, spoke perfect English. I don't know if he talked back to people, but he was certainly a force to reckon with. You couldn't, if it's many people I've read about, he was quite a character on the streets. And eventually, people took care of him. I know this is rambling talk here. But one of the devotees at the ashram told me that he was here to deal with the negative forces around politicians and around leaders in the world, but mostly India. And that he didn't really want an ashram, didn't want the disciples, but this naturally happens when you have probably fully realized a person like he was. We don't know these things, but he was a great master, there's no doubt. When you have that, then naturally people are attracted to them. And so he drew people to him, and eventually there's an ashram. He was fine with that. He got like, you know, Papa didn't want an ashram either, but for Mataji's sake and compassion that he had for the world, he allowed it to happen and took on a larger family than he left. Much larger. So that Ramnam, that initiation that Papa gave, you know, it's very powerful. But for the Western mind, we know, we don't really know exactly how the initiation was done by Sri Yukteswar or other masters. Did they make it the same way that Master did? Or did the Master tailor this for the West? I don't know. But he gave us what he gave us for our best, with all good intentions, and to bring out the best and to bring focus in our life to how important this is. And we learn to attach ourselves to the divine within ourselves, to look for that divine within ourselves. Methods, mechanisms for teaching how to see the third eye, how to see through the third eye, how to bring energy through the upper spine. And to deal with our karma directly. Ramnam deals with the karma too, of course. But Babaji chose to start this movement and got created the way that it did for the reasons that it did. Mother always said we were one of the pioneers in this great sweep of history that is part of the worldwide religion, the only religion. God made man and man made religion. Mother said there's only one religion. Sai Baba used to say, I give them what they want until they want what I want to give them. So the various religions, the various expressions, as spirit moves through people, it manifests as wanting to go into the world is to share this with other people, not knowing that there's a higher level, there's greater levels. It doesn't matter. That's part of what they want. God gives them what they want, which is to support the spiritual current going through these groups. You know, Catherine Coleman, Amy Semple McPherson, George Whitfield, these people, these Christians, Billy Graham in our own time. These people have a direct connection with God. They have a charter, they have a role to do. And they took it up and they did the best they could with it. And I think did tremendously good work to reach out. Mother used to talk about Catherine Coleman. She's quite interested in. And Mother saw Catherine Coleman. Kate probably remembers, she's read more of this. Who was it? Where did we get the story about Catherine? Mother's, it was some letter that she wrote or something. Mother was really quite impressed with her and acknowledging the power that flowed from her body. That's no accident. That's right. And they're not all have to be seen as evil or bad. They're not. They have bad aspects in them. They can be misused, but these are movements of spirit. And it expresses itself at the level, the chakra level that a person is at.
The difference is we have a guru. Guide us in that.
Well, I don't know that these aren't gurus also. These, they're certainly gurus in the sense of the Indian normal meaning of a teacher who you dedicate your life to that But, you know, the Christians, the guru lineage for them is to the Christ. There's no higher. And that's the focus they're taught. So I've been really thinking a lot about Kriyananda and his life. These are clearly our cousins. He's done great work. He's brought many wonderful souls to know Master. Sometimes the people you're closest to are the more difficult ones to deal with, in the sense that there's past history between our path and theirs. And the only thing that we share is, or that we should focus on, is the common teaching the Master brought us. Not to the law. And that's sort of the same. So I'll tell you two things about Kriyananda. Three things. Four things.
Just keep on, Barry.
Kate and I were down in Nanda village where his samadhi is, where he's interred. He died in Assisi. But as we sat there outside the samadhi hall, we both felt this direct, definite current. My own inner experience was I felt Master so strongly, it was undeniable. And then when we were in Assisi, we went out to Ananda, Assisi, which is a few miles outside of Assisi North. And we got to visit the house where he passed away. And when I walked in that building, there was a meditation going on in the room where he died. It was a little bit full, so we stayed in the living room. When we walked in, I could see Master in my mind, literally so strongly, and it immediately changed to Kriyananda's. In the latter years, he had the kind of a portrait that they used, and he's got this beautiful smile on his face, and I saw that so clearly. And then we sat and meditated for half an hour. It was just very nice there. It was beautiful, very quiet, very uplifting. Then after everyone left for that morning meditation, which I guess they do there every morning, they allowed us, or Rudra is a disciple, a Kriyananda disciple, who was showing us around, took us into the room where he passed away, and then, oh, thank you, I had to answer the thanks. And we got to see the bed. He passed away in the bedroom. The room was very sweet and very nice in there. But what shocked me and really thrilled me, I tell you, was that he had a small closet. And so Rudra reached around over and showed us, opened the door, and I saw a chair in a small closet, barely any room for the chair, and a beautiful little altar that he would meditate at. And it really just made me, you know, this is such a good example. Such a good example, exactly as Master would want it to. So it's just really sweet. And so the next two things are, I was talking to Haley's mom at the Nanda village, and it just occurred to me so clearly as I was talking to her that when Kriyananda was kicked out of the SRF in 61, he'd given his life. He was a young man when he first started. That was a crucifixion. I knew it. That what he had gone through must have been hell. And must have left him afloat. And then with the lawsuits that occurred, after he became really successful and really had a moving and going concern in the in Master's work, there was lawsuits and sexual stuff going on there associated with that. These are most miserable things to go through. Guilt or innocence, to have this all publicly displayed that way. And here is the thing. He stayed with it. He brought people through with it. He lost a lot of people, I'm sure. He lost people in 61 or whenever, the early 60s when he was kicked out, because he lost connections with people. These are things that go directly at the ego structure. This is the very definition of crucifixion. I told Nellie's mom, do you know her name?
Glenda.
Glenda, thank you. To give you an idea, mother even said that, I told her, that to give her give you an idea, mother even said Nixon went through a crucifixion. This happens on all levels. The correct understanding of what crucifixion means is the means of defeating the beast within us all. And it has to be a frontal attack sometimes. Now, Kriyananda, when he was first kicked out of SRF, he wrote to Mother and asked her if they could make common cause. And Mother didn't particularly get along with him. She knew him before and corresponded with him, actually, because he did a lot of correspondence for the organization. And so she said, no. Now, that's the way she told the story. But believe it or not, this is, Mother explained it to me the other day, that what was going on with her was also that she had just come through this horrific crucifixion experience with Papa, and that she wanted no association with anything. She needed an open field in front of her. She needed the freedom, that she didn't want to involve herself with anyone. So it wasn't entirely personal, maybe so too, but it was practical. She just couldn't do it. She couldn't help him, and she couldn't do it at that time. Mother was just getting on her feet on her new higher state that she'd attained. I think to a certain extent, her husband helped her to a great extent, played the opposing force, but she needed him off the field as well. Because it's difficult being a woman and being the teacher and being the guru and the husband. It's difficult for the husband. So anyway, Mother lived quite a few years after he passed in 75, and she passed 16 years later. She recommended that we read the book, The Path, when it first came out in the 70s. She liked the stories that he told, and he had a very good memory. There's new movement in SRF also, a new president, much going on there that's good too. When you have a guru and you have like the Christ or Master, you can always go back to that for you in your thoughts as to and rest your mind and to give you guidance. And you don't have to worry about anything between you and that guru. You may later find that the guru that intervened was perfectly correct. But when you have a pole star like Master in the mix, you can refer to, it really gives guidance down through the time, down through history. I think we'll stop there and we'll do some review if anyone wants to do that. So please join me in the closing prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father.
Oh, Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
I feel the wonder and the beauty
of thy glorious presence.
Of thy glorious presence.
In every part of my being.
In every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
And surrender myself to thee.
And surrender myself to thee.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
Surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence,
my mind and my intelligence
are radiant with thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy of bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy of bliss.
My communion with thee.
My communion with thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am
thee. Blessed Spirit, I am thee.
Hurry on to Zoom.
Do you want to announce to the people who took Korea that y'all answer their questions?
Oh, yeah. So, yes. That's such a beautiful talk. Thank you. So, yes, you can write to me or to Jill or to Peter about questions on this, anything to do with Kriya. Don't let things go too long being confused or having trouble with things. Most of these things we've all gone through. And sometimes they even have answers.